thankful we just serve a faithful God. Never wavers, never changes, steadfast. So tonight, the reason I was asking Linda about a certain song was the Lord's laid on my heart to speak tonight on the topic of rest. That's a big one. It occurs over 275 times in the Word of God. And no, I did not go read all of them. Maybe 80 or 90 of them, probably. But it's pretty, well, it occurs often in the Old and New Testament, both. And, you know, I think about, as I was reading through a lot of occurrences of it, just kind of getting a gist of it, always ask God, you know, what do you have for your people? It's always for me, too, but mostly I'm like, it's for all of us at this specific time. And I was thinking as I was going through just lots of different kind of variances of meaning of it and different things, how it's like a gem that has a lot of facets to it. And the Word is like that. And you can turn it around and look at it. And the beautiful thing about the Word and a good gem also that's been cut correctly, it's all symmetrical. And if it's in light, it reflects light differently. You might see different colors, different ways light shines on it. It's a very beautiful thing. And you know, the Word of God has always been perfect because the Godhead is perfect. But this is our perfect God for us. He's given us His perfect Word. It's a perfect gem. So I was just thinking about that, even in this word rest, how you can turn it around so many different ways and look at it. And you can probably do that with about anything in the Word of God, but for some reason it just really struck me with this. I was like, wow, that's just beautiful. I was thanking the Lord for that little nugget He gave me there. But if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read some in there. Hebrews 4 verse 9 is a very simple sentence. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Thank you, Lord. We're going to look at some different facets of rest, but we'll see why in a minute. I kind of am keying on to this one because I could have, again, picked from about 275 of them, and the Lord picked this one. So I'm like, we're going to start with that. But I want to go back, and I want to read the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4. You can read along with me because this is the context for this. Basically, this is about the children of Israel wandering around in the desert and why they didn't enter in. Well, there's only a very few of them that entered in at all, but we'll start and just pick it up in Hebrews 4:1 and actually 3:19, because it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Well, there you go. That's the reason, unbelief. So chapter 4 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." You know, God's not a respecter of persons, is He? Nope, He's not. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So you see already it was given to all. Some didn't take it. Some did, but they didn't have faith. It's already kind of getting into some things here. Verse 3 says, "For which we have believed, do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And you think about this, God was very wroth with the children of Israel, several accounts. But if they'll enter into my rest, the works were finished. And you think about, we talk about this all the time. Again, the work is really already done. It's done. We're having this life and experiences in it to experience God, His grace, His mercy, His love, everything. But God's seen you from before He set a star in heaven. He knows the beginning from the end, all of it. Because He's omniscient and He's God. So it says, in verse 4, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So here we have this unbelief again. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I know we certainly don't want to do that. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Then the verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So we can see, and I wanted to read through that because you see how, what's the opposite of unbelief? Faith. The ones with faith entered in. The ones unbelief did not. It's a story that's well known, but we're going to get into this a little bit more. In those 11 verses, the word rest is 9 times. That's quite a bit in just 11 verses. And there are some different meanings to these words, the word rest in here, which we're going to kind of launch out from there, kind of go into them. Verse 9, the one that we kind of are launching here from, the word for rest is sabbatismos. Now you think that kind of sounds like a word, because it is. It means to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the day of rest. All right? And you think about it, that's the only time that word occurs in the Greek, in the New Testament. So rest is a lot of times, but that particular one there, he's talking about, therefore there remaineth a Sabbath, a rest to the people of God. And as we read up there in verse 4, God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works. There's a pattern, always. Think about this a little bit. You think about 7 is the number of spiritual perfection. There's a perfecting in rest. We do things out of love, motivated. We aren't lazy, apathetic, all of that. But there's also rest, and there's a perfecting in rest. So just kind of keep that tucked in there because it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, thinking about this, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, back to the beginning, back to in beginning. Genesis 1:31. And I'm going to read that one and then a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 2. So this is creation. So Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So it wasn't just so-so or meh, kind of good, some of it. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So that was the culmination of creation. He looked over it and said, everything was very good. So I had to go and look up very good. Like, what is very good? And I love it because it means exceeding, abundantly, beautiful, the best. Well, can God's perfect creation be anything other than that? Well, no. But I just love seeing how everything tracks perfectly, everything. Then chapter 2. Says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So everything done after the 6 days. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, okay, and sanctified it, set it apart. Blessed it and set it apart. Because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So this was a day where he blessed it, sanctified it. And you know the thing that really, he just really sweetly encouraged my heart. You know, God didn't need to rest because he was tired. God doesn't get tired. He just doesn't. We do, and we have sleep. It's rest. But spiritual rest. Mostly what I'm talking about here, although these natural bodies do need rest. And if you ever don't have enough rest, which I'm sure happens to all of us once in a while, things aren't pretty quickly. Actually, bad things can physiologically happen to you without rest in the natural speaking. But God doesn't need to rest that way at all. So what was the purpose of the seventh day? it's beautiful because in that seventh day, part of the perfecting and rest is he stopped and enjoyed what he had made. It's like, wow. He appreciated it. Just think about that. Not because he was tired, but he wanted to enjoy his creation, his workmanship. It's beautiful. So when you think about rest, there's a day, and it's not just a day, but think about resting, thanking God, just praising him for like what he's created in you, what he is creating, what he's doing. That's a beautiful thing. That's part of the perfecting. Praise and perfection, all of that works together. It's wonderful, wonderful. Let's go into Exodus a little bit here. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to talk about the Sabbath here in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word sabbaton is the Sabbath, the day of rest. And in Exodus 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." So remember when it's talking about his rest, this is his Sabbath. It's all his. "In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates." So this was very thorough. No exceptions. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So I was reading a little bit, kind of history stuff. Back in those days, Israel was the only nation around that part of the world that did this. All the other ones worked, they did stuff 7 days a week. They were nonstop. You think about it, you're like, well, that's exhausting, sure. But when you think about it, it gave them a slight edge in a lot of ways, or could have, because they had another day to do crops, to take care of things, to prepare for war, to make things to go to war with other people, to get ready. They were just always at it. Kind of interesting, because you could say, well, Israel was perhaps at a disadvantage with that. But you know, with God, if he tells you to do something, there's never going to be a disadvantage to it. There is not. I think the beautiful thing is, with the Israelites, they had to trust God for the provision for that day, because they were to do nothing with it. Stop. But God did provide for them every time. He certainly did. He hasn't changed a bit for any of us at all. But it's wonderful because it was a trust thing. Will you trust God to provide if he says stop? Kind of hard. I'm sure we all get there every once in a while. And you're like, I need to keep going. He's like, stop. Just trust me. I'm going to take care of it. And pretty much 100% of the time, it's over exceeding abundantly what you could have ever thought or asked. Because you'll think, okay, the provision's like right here at this level. And he's like, nope, it's going to go way up here. Thank you, God. Lessons in trusting. So that's just a little something on the even practical side, but it's all spiritual, again. All of it is. But again, with God, trust him for the provision, because his arm is never short. In fact, his arm stretched out a long ways to get to us. Very long ways. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So now, most of the other times that rest occurs back in Hebrews 4, 1 through 11, it is a word, katapausis. It means to put to rest, or a calming of winds. And you think about that. Wind annoys me, quite frankly. Sorry. I don't like it. It's very unnerving to me. But you think about this. Think about when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Let's go over to Luke chapter 8. This account is also in Matthew and Mark, but Luke, we'll take a look at it in Luke here real fast. Luke 8:22. This is the storm. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he," and that's Jesus, "went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." Thought, okay, we're going to go across the lake. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." Okay, he was a natural man. He was tired. He fell asleep, literally. "And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So the boat started to get overwhelmed, started to take on water. That's not a good thing. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." They're not thinking this is a good thing. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. There you go. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" Well, yeah. There you go, from Jesus himself. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." They didn't even realize. It's like, wow. The thing is, sometimes Jesus does calm the storm, literally. But the thing is, he can always calm you in the storm. More often, he probably does that, I would say. He does just calm it sometimes. You know, you'll have a situation in life that is like a tempest. It's just crazy. And all of a sudden, just kind of goes away. I had a situation, I was thinking at my job. I had a, was working with the customers. The way it ended yesterday, it was kind of like, oh boy, this is going to be really rough, because they needed an invoice adjusted and a bunch of things, and I thought, oh boy, it's not going to get a bunch of people involved. And this morning, I got on and got a little note from this customer saying, "No, it's fine, just leave the billing as is. We'll just work it out in our office." I was like, wow, that's a little tiny thing. But sometimes when it looks like, and all of a sudden, you know, I kind of was fretting about it a little even last night. It's like, I just don't, this is going to be a mess. Nope, they're like, fine, it's fine. It can be simple like that, or it can be more complicated than that. But simple or complicated, sometimes it just calms down. But at the same time, if things would have went the way that might have been troublesome, I could still have peace in it. God's like, we're going to get it done. It's just another thing you do every day, all day. It's okay. I'm just glad he's just gentle with us that way. But you think about that, the storms of life. So again, going back to this rest and thanking him. Thank him through all of it. It's easy to thank him when things are good. But the test comes when, well, all things are working together for our good. We know that from Romans 8:28. But when it doesn't appear good, thank him. Just say, I thank you in advance, God, for what you're going to do, how you're going to bring me through it, how I'm going to grow more in love with you through it. And he'll do it, for sure. Now, this word katapausis has a root word, so we go down into the word more. Is katapau. That means to grant rest or to make quiet. All right, so you have to put to rest the calming of winds, then you have this granting of rest, making quiet. In Hebrews 4:10, that's that word ceased. So the labor is to rest. And you think, well, how can labor be to rest? Because we don't think that way. We're thinking labor is like work. But actually, it's the rest is the good fight of faith. It's just faith. That's it. Laying a hold of grace, if you want to call that, it's not a labor work. But again, it's not about labor stuff. It's just entering into rest through faith. That's it. Lay a hold of the grace of God. Just believe the word of God. Faith is just about believing. Someday our faith is just going to be made sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It could be tonight. We count him faithful. I do. I'm like, it could be tonight. I hope it is. I seriously do. I think about this. Ceasing from our own works. I have a habit sometimes of literally when I'm stressed, I clench my fists. Think about this. It's a picture. Clenched fists. The clenched fist, you're like holding on. Eventually your hand can hurt because you're like, it's effort, literally. But think when you do this, open. There's a releasing in that, but there's also an ability to accept in it. When it's like this, you are holding on and not gonna let go and nothing can get in there. But you do this, or maybe you do this, right? So you release things, but you're able to receive this way. That's just a physical thing, but think spiritually of this. Our heart can kind of clench, not, but release, let God. That word let is so huge, huge. So you can't let like this. It doesn't happen. Just release, release and receive. I'm thankful he does this for us saints. Only he can do it. It's the accepting of grace. It says lay a hold of it. So you got to do that with open palm, an open heart. And here, heart's the same way. So, a facet of rest. Quiet and peace. Peace, huge. Let's go to Romans. A few scriptures in Romans. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you see here, we have a rejoicing through faith. We have peace with God. Jesus brought that peace. There is none without him. We're basically enemies of God without Jesus. Praise God, we're not, because we are of Jesus. Everything in Christ, by him, through him, to him, do him, all of that. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to Romans 8, verse 6. It says, and actually we've been right here the last few Wednesdays. Pastor is taking us through Romans chapter 8. Wonderful. Always more to be mined. Always. It's never ending. Romans 8, 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, we have the mind of Christ. You know that, right? You have that mind. He's given it to you like he's given you everything else freely. You have it. You have a choice whether to use the carnal mind or the mind of Christ. But you think about this. Spiritually minded, life and peace. And I will say this life is not just life, but Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. That's the super abounding life. That's the life of the wife. That's that life. So we have all this. So we want to be spiritually minded, life and peace. All right, Romans 14. This will be the last Romans one. And we'll look at Ephesians for a minute. Romans 14, 17. Actually, there's two here. Sorry, because I added one. It's a good one. It says, Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, it's not, you know, meat and drink, temporal things. This is speaking to temporal versus eternal. The kingdom of God is not temporal. No, it's not. But righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, you have to go over to Romans 15, 13, where it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in faith, that you may abound in hope. So there's that abounding above through the power of the Holy Ghost. So you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That gets those enlightened eyes of understanding in your heart that see all of this, that always see the superabounding, the extra measure. Again, that provision when you maybe have a day where you don't do anything and God's just going to take care of you. All of that. It's wonderful. Praise be to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. There's a lot of good scripture in here. I'm so thankful he gave us all of this freely. All of it. So wonderful. Ephesians 2. I've got 13 to 17. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, that's how we can go into that Holy of Holies. Just go in there. Go to the throne of grace. There's nothing keeping you from it. Nothing at all. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. See, he's reconciled everything. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Far away and also near, does not matter. God is a relentless pursuer. Very. I'll thank him for it. I know things get pretty hot sometimes. Sometimes you want to say, stop, stop. Then you say, no, I didn't mean that. Not really. I believe in Romans 8:28. I am believing it fully. But see, that's the entering into rest, just fully believing. There's contentment in that. There's not struggle anymore. That just, you again, you're ceasing from yourself. I must decrease, he must increase. Always, every moment, all the time. It's a steep increase these days, saints, and I know we know this. Now, there is also a facet in rest that is a refreshing. And I like this one. I got a couple of scriptures on this. And boy, I'm only scratching the surface on this. As I'm like reading through this, I'm thinking, phew, there is just endless so much more. But what God has given us, we'll just go with that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. Go over there. Verses 17 and 18. This is beautiful. Paul writing to the saints at Corinth. Towards the end of his first letter, he says, I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed. That's a word, rest. That's one of the definitions of rest. My spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge you them that are such. You know, we are to mark certain ones. The word says a lot of times, mark those who are examples. Paul is saying, these three here, acknowledge them that are such. Take note of them. Now, if you think about this, I looked up the names of these three. Stephanas means crowned. Well, it's a crown, for sure. Crown. Fortunatus means fortunate. Then you have Achaicus, means trouble. We're like, where did the train go off? We were doing so good. The crown, the fortunate, oh, then trouble. Well, but when you think about it, think about Romans 8:17, joint suffering to have the crown. How fortunate are we? How fortunate are we? Happy are ye that suffer in Christ. In Christ. Count it all joy. I know it sounds easy. It's easier to say than do a lot of times. But the thing is, in rest, it's not hard. It's not about you doing anything, really. It's just rest. It's just trusting him. But I love it how those three right there, they have rested, refreshed my spirit in yours. There was a refreshing in that for Paul. Wonderful. Comfort. That which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. And see, there was a supplying again. And again, God's arm never short. Comes from unexpected places sometimes. Let's go back a book to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 13, we have a sweet brother here, Titus. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed, rested by you all. Titus means nurse. And when you think about what a nurse does, a nurse is a caregiver. Helps in healing, helps in a lot of different ways. You think about how much more so this word of God itself is all of that. It heals, it strengthens, it's a balm. It's that balm in Gilead. It's the place that can give you rest if you'll let it. Just believing, that's it. God doesn't make it complicated. He really doesn't at all. But I love this, comfort, exceeding the more joyful. And again, this all can happen with rest. It's wonderful. Now, there's another facet of rest. Back to that definition of katapeo, the word that occurs back there in Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. There's another facet of that that means to lead to a quiet abode or to settle down. So I'm kind of like, this is like, in a sense, towards God's, when you think about it, this life, he's always leading you. The word, this word leads you. It's leading you to a quiet abode. Abode's like a dwelling. It's where you settle down. It's where you stay. It's where you live with people. This is the family of God here. We're his. We're in love with Jesus, with his son. We want to marry him. Think about all of this. He's leading you that way, and will continue to. But it's a place of rest. It's wonderful. You think about it. It's leading us. Not a sound invades the stillness there. You know, there's going to be that silence in heaven for half an hour. Silence. There will be things going on for sure, but it's undisturbed. You know, you think about Jesus with Martha and Mary. Don't bother her. Don't. She's wrought a good work on me. She was doing something, but mostly sitting at his feet. That blessed Jesus beyond, I know. It just did. God loves us to rest and rest in him. It's wonderful. So you think about this, a contented state of dwelling together. Now, whenever I think of that settle down, you got to go to Psalm 133. You cannot, that's like one of the first places you think about going, because there is a settling down in there. Let's go over to Psalms 133. Little three-verse psalm, but wow, there's a lot in here too. This is a song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That is a settle down in marriage fellowship unity, not just all hanging out together as friends. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. This was the high priest. I think Jesus is our high priest. That went down to the skirts of his garments. So from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, all the way down, covering. Wonderful. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. And again, life more than abundant, the life of the wife of the Lamb. The wife has made herself ready. Again, there's a perfection in resting. Part of the readiness is resting, trusting him, believing fully. Amen. This quiet abode, when you think about it, the quiet abode, a lot of times when you're resting, that's in a bed chamber. It's quiet, resting. This is the intimacy we have with Jesus. That's what God has for us. It's wonderful. It's beyond wonderful, in fact. Does not get any better than this. It just does not. Kind of to wrap this up, let's go to Psalm 16:9. Go back to Psalm 16:9. I love this. This is a psalm of David. It says, well, we'll start up kind of towards the top. It starts out saying, Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Trust. There you go. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, to the excellent in whom all is my delight. Just wonderful. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. And you know, that's not just maintaining it to like a level, but that's the overflowing abundance. It's the cup that runneth over. Joy, love, peace, and the Holy Ghost, all of that right there. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And don't we though? Jesus. That's our heritage, him, the one that loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Then, says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This was David. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Wow, that's amazing. Only God can do that. But the thing is, he's granted that to you. He just wants you, again, the open hand, just accept it, receive it from him. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So thinking about this, circling back to that idea of rest being for enjoyment and thankfulness. And again, it's not just one day a week. It's spiritual reality always. We can rest in what Jesus, again, has done, is doing, will do, that God already knows all about. He's already seen it. He's just waiting for us to walk through it with him all the way to the midst of the throne, to rule and reign with Jesus forever. Wonderful. And rest. Rest we can have now, and surely rest we will have then. Amen? All right. Thank you, saints. That's what he had for us tonight. Kind of sweet and simple. Let's do stand and...